From all the evidence we have seen, the United States aircraft was operating in international airspace in full accordance with all laws, procedures, and regulations, and did nothing to cause the accident.
President Bush speaking from the Rose Garden on Thursday. Mr. Bush praised the crew of the U.S. surveillance plane involved in the April 1st collision with the Chinese jet fighter. They were apparently able to destroy a lot of sensitive material on board and bring the plane in for a safe landing. U.S. and Chinese representatives will meet next week to discuss the accident. Dan Shore is away this week, so joining us in his stead is Henrik Hertzberg, political columnist and senior editor of The New Yorker magazine and our New York bureau. Rick, thanks very much for being with us again.
It's good to be here.
In your judgment, what has this incident, the 11-day standoff, the back and forth, taught us about the inner workings of the Chinese government?
Well, it's brought out something that we kind of knew but hadn't really experienced quite this directly, and that is that there's such a thing in China as domestic politics. The Chinese regime is now a kind of classic authoritarian state. It no longer really has the universalist pretensions of a totalitarian communist dictatorship. It's communist in name only, but mm-hmm. It's definitely and dangerously, perhaps, authoritarian.
Mm-hmm. Dangerously authoritarian to its own people most of all, or are you suggesting to the United States?
Well, around the edges of China to the United States, to Taiwan. In a regional way, it's dangerous. It's not like the Cold War. This isn't the Cold War repeated. Mm-hmm. This is a much more traditional sort of bumping up against two powers bumping up against each other, kind of a sphere of influence conflict rather than a Manichaean global struggle for the future of mankind.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to detect the hand of any influence of the Chinese people in the events over the past couple of weeks?
Well, so we're told. I mean, we're told that there's a kind of nationalist resurgence in China, and that the Chinese government was under pressure to be tough, mm-hmm. and to show that China can't be pushed around. That seems to have played a role in their overreaction, and their provocation of our provocation. So that's certainly something that's playing a role.
Mm-hmm. The American people, and I suspect around the world, although I'm not sure in China, are seeing pictures this morning of the Chinese pilot who was lost, apparently making previous close runs at other U.S. planes. It's also appearing in newspapers. Now, of course, there is going to be this meeting on April 18th, I believe, between Chinese and American representatives, and that is supposed to determine what happened, who might be responsible. It almost seems offhand as if this meeting is another opportunity for disagreement.
Oh, absolutely, and it's going to be where all of the kind of cuts that have been opened by this incident are going to be picked at and have a bit of salt rubbed into them, because the Chinese would like to turn this incident into something that causes us to back off on the sort of surveillance that we're conducting along the Chinese borders, mm-hmm. and we or the United States government is going to try to recover whatever face it lost by making this, well, apology is too strong a word, but whatever it was, and it's really unclear who comes out with the lost face, but both sides think they have some face to make up for.
Well, does either side really want a meeting? I mean, why rub salt into it at this particular point?
Well, the meeting was scheduled before all of this mess, and I guess they both feel there would be more to lose by calling it off and postponing it. That would create a sense of damage in the relationship or crisis. They'd rather go ahead with the meeting, even though it's going to be a not particularly pleasant one.
Mm-hmm. Shortly after the crew of the Navy surveillance plane left China, President Bush was, to say the least, a little more pointed in his comments about China's responsibility for the mid-air collision.
Yeah, and he brought Rumsfeld out, too, for the first time.
What does that contribute or not contribute to the situation at this point? Does it make us look, make the United States look as if we're saying, well, we didn't really mean it? And is that the idea?
That probably is the idea. And of course, we didn't really mean it. If we did, uh, an, a, a, an exquisitely phrased apology that is negotiated by diplomats over days and days under duress is not really an exercise in sincerity. And it's perfectly to be expected and only natural that now that our boys are safely and girls are safely back home, mm-hmm. that the administration would toughen up its rhetoric a bit. Mm-hmm.
I guess we have to finally note during the campaign, obviously the Democrats suggested gently and not so gently that they didn't feel this governor of Texas, who had only been out of the United States on two or three occasions, was up to the job of handling foreign affairs. Have we learned anything about President Bush's ability in this realm over this crisis?
Well, in this incident, or crisis might be too strong a word, but whatever it was, Bush left it to the grown-ups to handle, essentially, and that may sound a bit snarkier mm-hmm. than I mean it to be, or maybe just about as snarky as I mean it to be. But the real problem, what we didn't see in this crisis that we might see in a future crisis, is what happens when the big boys in the administration disagree with each other. Bush has, to his credit, managed to maintain discipline within his foreign policy team. Mm-hmm. In this case, he essentially, after some stumbling at first, he turned it over to Powell to handle, basically, and had Rumsfeld stay in the background. And we don't really know how much internal struggle there was over what sort of response to be. But you couldn't say that Bush handled this one badly. Mm-hmm.
Let's ask about his budget, which got unveiled. Do you notice any surprises? Who do you think the budget might pinch or even hurt the most?
It's kind of a stealth budget, and one of the advantages from Bush's point of view to this China crisis is that the budget wasn't discussed very much this week. The cuts, this is a budget that cuts. Mm-hmm. Even though we have a huge surplus, even though Bush campaigned as a compassionate conservative, even though his budget speech began with a long, long section on priorities that had to be met domestically and then said that a tax cut was only kind of an afterthought, this is a budget that cuts. It cuts especially in the environment and housing, health. It cuts money for cops on the street, for mass transit, a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. And it cuts most in the out years, as they say. This is a budget that's making room for a huge tax cut, one that favors the wealthy. It's the big picture is that the president thinks that the main problem in our country is that the rich don't have enough money. And so, therefore, the main priority for his administration is to cut taxes, particularly the ones that impact the wealthy.
I don't want the week to go by without noting that Timothy Thomas is going to be buried today in Cincinnati. He, a young man, was the 15th suspect, black, to be killed by police in Cincinnati in 6 years, and the fourth since November. It's noted in that amount of time no white suspect's been killed in Cincinnati. There's been several nights of unrest in the streets. Why are we just hearing about this now?
Yeah, isn't that extraordinary that there could be kind of riots in the streets in an American city, and most of the country is utterly unaware of it until the last day or two. I think we're going to see some media reporting, some reporting on the media in the next few days explaining that. It's a real embarrassment.
Okay. Rick, thanks very much.
Good to be here.
The New Yorker Magazine's Hendrik Hertzberg.